Jamie Locker with you. Ready to go to Winnipeg, Manitoba next. Well, in the next 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. By this time tomorrow, we'll be on the air from Winnipeg, Manitoba with the Green Zone. Hitting the road and Locker, that means we get to share an iced tea with our next guest, Derek Taylor, the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Can't wait for it, DT. How's it going today?
Good. You guys are welcome to come by the house. We'll light a fire. We'll have some iced teas. It'll be a good time. We'll give it. But, very glad to have you guys in Winnipeg.
How many dogs do you have now?
Oh, you got pups.
Just one. She will sock you in both testicles, however.
Is it a lab?
It's a border collie.
Border collie. Oh, okay. Yeah. Labs go through your legs. I got a lab, so I'm constantly covering up my,
We call it tunnel. Absolutely.
Okay, Derek, there's a few things we need to take care of before you give us a heads up on what Rider Nation can anticipate from the work Wade Miller and the organization has done for Grey Cup week. First question, are the Bombers going to be without a coach in a few weeks? The latest on the Mike O'Shea apparent that has been given permission to talk to the Toronto Argonauts?
Yeah, and Dave Naylor saying that they've already had some conversation, singular. I'm like, oh boy, okay. This is the thing. Like, Mike's contract is up at the end of the calendar year, and this is a year in which kind of frustration with the Mike O'Shea regime has been as high as it's been since they started winning Grey Cups. Honestly, since that Kolaris got to town, you go, okay, well, his contract's up, and you look at. If he did have other options, if he did have other suitors, which ones would be appealing to him? Someone said, would he go to Ottawa? I don't know that Ottawa pre-Dinwiddie was a particularly appealing idea. But when Toronto, when Dinwiddie left for Ottawa and Toronto came available, and you know what Mike is to that franchise, and you know what he is to that city of football, and he and Pinball Clemens are incredibly tight, you go, oh, that's one that if I was Mike O'Shea, I would absolutely be taking that conversation. One, because I might really love to do that. And two, well, when your contract's up, it's a great time to be offered another job, right? I think we could all kind of go with that being a thing. So you could maneuver yourself the best situation possible. But yeah, we're in Winnipeg. We're kind of waiting. Nothing will get announced during Grey Cup week because there's kind of a blackout. But yeah, they might be looking for a new head boss come the other side of it.
Derek, can we spin this positively for the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan base? Is it time? Listen, he's had unbelievable success. But is it worth saying out loud that maybe you could use a break from Mike?
Well, here's the thing. And the day he leaves, we're going to have some competing narratives come out that have been trickling throughout the fan base along the way. If you go back to 2019, and this sounds kooky on its face now, and to me, even then. But if you go back to 2019, there are people who will swear that Mike had no intention of inserting Zach Kolaris into the starting lineup. He was going to go with Chris Strebler. And it sounds kooky with what we know from Kolaris' performance in the ensuing seasons and trips to the Grey Cup and multiple MOPs. But there are folks who would contend Mike is very stuck in his own ways, and he believes too strongly in some things and not strongly enough in things that are, football reality, right? It's just he's got his way, and he's going to stick to his way, and he's had success in that way. But is that truly the way? So I think there would be fans who, if he were to take the job and move on, as the franchise's all-time winningest coach, there are folks who will, yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right with this because maybe there was some luck along the way. The Zach Kolaris trade doesn't happen every decade.
Well, yeah. I always say,
happens, right?
Hey, Derek, do you know who should get the biggest thank you letter for the Zach Kolaris dynasty in Winnipeg?
Is it Simone Lawrence?
Simone Lawrence is the guy who should get the thank you letter for concussing Zach on the first drive of the season in 2019, which led to, of course, the Riders moving to Cody Fajardo, the trade to Toronto, then the trade to Winnipeg. So Simone Lawrence gets the
Chris
thank
Jones
you
is at the heart of that, right, as well?
I was one day, I was in the airport.
Nope, he was gone out of Saskatchewan already by that point. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the airport in Calgary one day waiting for my flight, and I was just writing down the butterfly effect of the Kolaris on the Kolaris hit from Simone Lawrence. which was my first ever game doing riders. And I'm like, oh boy, I better set the tone here. But like, then it has effects on Nick Arbuckle and Matt Nichols along the way. And Simone Lawrence gets suspended. Cody Fajardo becomes a millionaire because of that hit, right? Like in what he did in Ottawa the next week. It's incredible the ripple that ran through the CFL just because of Simone taking a cheap shot on Zach in that game. It's amazing to look at it now 6 years later.
Derek, this is kind of a two-parter. Who do you think Winnipeg is cheering for in the Grey Cup, and who are you cheering for in the Grey Cup? And they don't have to match up.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg is probably, on the whole, probably cheering for Montreal. And someone said to me, well, you're cheering for the team that just beat us? I'm like, well, it's the team that's not Saskatchewan, right? Like, Saskatchewan winning in Winnipeg and, you know, celebrating at the middle of Princess Otto Stadium. I don't know that it's going to go over great with Bomber fans, just as it wouldn't have had the Bombers won in Saskatchewan a couple of years ago, right? Like, in 22, it wouldn't have been the same. Everything about it would feel wrong. We celebrate blue and gold here, right? Not green and white. Green is not the color here. Football is the game, but green is not the color here.
Well, right? So, Derek.
Hit me.
The Bombers are going to make a lot of green because of this team in green, so they should be thankful for who won the West Final.
No question about that. Like, Saskatchewan, like I've been in both markets now, and you guys have very well seen a ton from the Winnipeg market. Like, Winnipeg loves its football, but no one supports their team like Riders fans do. It's crazy.
Okay, let's get to the Tommy Neal.
No, we can't get him off. He doesn't get off the hook. Oh. Who are you cheering for?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm kind of in awe of what Saskatchewan's been able to do with just an incredible amount of injury problems this season. That said, there's a part of me that might be in love with Davis Alexander and the cutoff T-shirt and the giving it to the opposing crowd and the opposing bench at every turn and scrambling for his life and making these plays. I'm maybe 55-45 Montreal at this point. I do have to say my wife is 100% Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
She remembers our time in Regina. She's in all green. She's been harassing me with that already. It's awesome.
That's good. I like the honesty.
What jersey's the dog going to wear on Sunday?
Oh, gosh. I was trying to think of a size comparison. Like, I don't know. Dog's probably a big Key and Schaefer Baker fan. KSB. Oh, no, pardon me, Jamarcus Hardrick. She doesn't know Jamarcus, I think, from his time here. But the Hardrick hop was a seminal moment in Winnipeg football fans. So if he does it for Saskatchewan, I will just die laughing.
Derek Taylor with us, voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We need to talk a little bit about the West Final. Catch or no catch, should Amar Doman be fined for even going there with the most ridiculous screen grab of all time?
Jamie, you were the first one I saw that pointed out. Yeah, that's Tommy Neal's elbow, by the way. I know it's in shadow, and I know the goalpost is kind of in the way. As I saw it in the moment, I just thought, whatever they called this, I don't think there's any way they can overturn it. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
It probably touched the ground, and he probably had control of it when he touched the ground, but neither of those could you use to overturn it, right? Probably is a killer to overturn. So they ruled touchdown. I'm like, this has probably got to stand because I don't see anything that can overturn it. The conspiracy theory, when the owner puts that out there and doesn't notice exactly what part he's circling, what's the ball and what's Tommy Neal's left arm. I'm like, that's not a great look for everybody. And there probably should. If you're going to ding Sean White, and was it White and Brett Lawther who got dinged on social media at the beginning of last year for the chipped football and their complaints about that, you probably have to hit the owner as well for saying, hey, for putting out what he did.
The new conspiracy theory, and not to add any more fuel to the fire here, is that it's actually a screenshot from another play.
That feels like that's Neal in the end zone.
Three or four texts that people are like saying that it's
well, there's another screen grab that's going around too from BC fans. That one is the one that's probably another play. and not the one that Omar Dohman posted.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right.
They're trying their hardest to try to win the West Final. It's over. Move on. enjoy your off season. But let's get the party started here, Derek. I know the Bombers and Wade Miller and company have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. A lot of Rider Nation's now going to have the caravan to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
What should we expect for the party for Grey Cup this year?
Canada's biggest social is the tagline. So you're going to end up downtown. You're going to end up at the convention center where all the parties and the events will be. Got restaurants around here are jumping in with both feet as well. It's going to be a great time. If you haven't been to Winnipeg for a game, there's not a ton near the stadium that you're going to necessarily partake in because it's in the south area and they want things, you know, centered downtown. But yeah, you're going to be at the convention center a bunch. You're going to have all the parties there, all the celebrations. Got a street party. There's going to be everything you need to celebrate starting on Thursday is going to be going here in Winnipeg. So I'm looking forward to when I go. I don't know, Jamie, if you're the same, but when I'm on the road in a Grey Cup and the team's in it, you're like, well, I got to focus on my work. This one, I got to focus on my partying a little more because it's now in my town.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way, on that one.
So do I need to worry about the meat on my shoulder?
The what? Meat on your shoulder.
It's an old social thing. I thought.
Okay. Yeah. You should be okay. There's going to be, if you don't run into a lot of pierogies and sausage, you're in the wrong place.
The midnight meat. I got to explain this to Jamie.
What the heck are you talking about?
So everybody who's new to a social gets slapped. They have a meat tray at midnight.
Yeah, the sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, so the sandwich thing. And there's a big meat tray. And the first social I went to, I'm wandering around for, I don't know, 3/4 of an hour with a piece of salami on my shoulder. Guys will take meat and slap it on your shoulder when you're not looking. So
guys slap their meat. That's what they do, right? That's the thing.
That's the takeaway from this break. Started with a dog hitting you in the testicles, and now a guy slapped Locker with a piece of meat. There we go. That's a wrap.
Sandwich meat on your shoulder.
Derek Taylor, yeah. The voice.
Sounds like something guys would do. Yeah, it's great. I love it.
All right, Derek. Can't wait for the party in Winnipeg. I think it got a little bit more interesting with Rider Nation. Riderville's going to be bumping in Winnipeg.
Text me your address.
Yeah. When
Jamie ditches me, I'll be looking for some place to go.
I'm the king of the Irish goodbye, and then you'll find me at the next party. Derek, take care. I'll see you in a day or two.
Love it. Sounds great, guys.
That is Derek Taylor, the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here on the Green Zone. Yes, downtown RBC Convention Center. If you're going, that's where the team parties are. There's also the Fan Fest. That is at the University of Winnipeg. That's where we're going to be broadcasting from is Fan Fest starting. Well, it opens Thursday, but we'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday. It opens Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday as well. Grey Cup downtown, and then, of course, game day at Princess Auto Stadium at the University of Manitoba campus in the south. Our Green Zone game day, 3 o'clock Sunday. Daryl, myself, Belton, will get you set for the 112th Grey Cup, the Riders against the Owls. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, to be honest, it's been 12 years. 12 years we've been waiting for this to say the Riders are going to the Grey Cup. It's been a minute. Doesn't feel like 12 years, or does it? I'm not sure.
Doesn't for me.
Time flies when you're having fun or when you're talking about coaching changes and quarterback changes and GM changes and all the changes we've seen in Saskatchewan in those 12 years. It's been a ride. But Corey Mace has stabilized it. They've built it. And now they're one win away from finishing the job. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. Live from Winnipeg starting tomorrow as our team will have your team covered wall to wall starting tomorrow in Winnipeg. Our team will include myself, Locker, and Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray
who is bringing you the great coverage all year long with his Daily Blitz.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
What was that?
That was a sigh from Britton realizing he had to spend 6 hours in a car with you.
I'm a treat. I don't know what you're worried about.
Britton, you ready to go?
Yeah, I got my noise canceling headphones ready for the drive. Can't wait to get started.
You two are going to have so much. I can't wait to be sitting
in the... You couldn't put two more different people
in a car together for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should just put a GoPro and just roll tape.
Oh, I want Instagram Live the entire 6 hours on our social media if we could do that. That would be great content. It would be like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
We Those think differently. We eat differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are...
Walker's going to want to stop for a salad. So Britton's going to stop at burger joints. Yeah, it's going to be...
I drink a lot of coffee, too, so I got to take a lot of
No, you don't... Stops. You can't stop. You got to get to the show on time at 2 o'clock tomorrow, please.
It's not going to take us 8 hours.
Okay, driving Miss Daisy. I don't sure about that, but yeah. The noise-canceling headphones is a good idea, Britton.
I like that idea, actually.
I'm going to be sitting there with an espresso in the hotel lobby after my hour and 15-minute flight, just waiting for you two to show up. I'm going to be nice and rested.
What I love about this trip is I am going in blind.
You partied at Grey Cups in Edmonton.
I have, but I mean, I don't know where I'm staying. The only thing I know is when I'm leaving. I don't know where we're broadcasting.
And that's how Grey Cups work, Locker.
I've just been trying to settle in. Because I'm like, Jamie, what's the hotel? We'll find out.
We'll figure it out.
And then today he's like, you're staying here. Is there confirmation for the hotel? Nope. And then he just picks up a phone, calls somebody randomly from the CFL, and they go, don't worry about it. They're taking care of it. I am literally going to be sleeping in the front seat of the CJME Toyota next to Britton.
Yeah. I'll be comfortable, my king suite.
All right. Britton doesn't have the best diet.
Let's go. And
it's going to be some issues.
Let's go. Let's go, Britton. What do you think?
Pack a pillow.
After Saturday on what this Rough Rider team can achieve by a week tomorrow or a week yesterday.
I think they can do it. That Rider team, they kind of did something that a lot of Rider teams don't do, and that's come through in the clutch. We've seen so many teams of this franchise just get so close but don't make the right play. You have to doink off the uprights, right, or giving up the last drive and allowing another team to score. This team finally kind of flipped the script, was able to be the team that comes through in the clutch, that comes through when it matters, and with some health questions around Montreal. Like, I assume outside of Joe Robustelli, this is going to be a very healthy Riders team. The Davis Alexander, they were missing their offensive lineman last game, Lestage out there. Is he going to be able to go? There are questions around the Montreal Alouettes. And this Riders team, they believe in themselves. This has been one of the closest teams I've been able to cover, and they don't panic. And that's the biggest thing.
We had a conversation earlier today in the Green Zone Lounge about, and you've kind of wrapped your head around this, if there is, and knock on wood, if there is a Saskatchewan Rough Riders win for the 112th Grey Cup in Winnipeg next week, you will be on hand to witness what goes on in the dressing room. Are you prepared for the fact that that team may come after you with celebratory?
Always be prepared.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're at home packing right now. You might want to put rain gear in that bag.
Yeah. Do you have a poncho?
Nah, but we'll make it work. Always do.
I might be able to find a poncho for you. I'll look and see if I can find a couple ponchos.
Like, you look at the Blue Jays celebrations. Like, Hazel May did not come. There was a few reporters who did not come out of there.
They looked drowned. Like, they looked like they spent like a half an hour in a hot tub.
And the thing is, Britton, this team isn't celebrating like they've won anything. Like the post game from head coach was like, hey, I don't want to pour cold water, but this wasn't our goal. The only way to get to our goal, we needed to do this. But he's like, hey, celebrate tonight, but we're back to work tomorrow. We got like that's the mindset of this team, and I think everybody's on board. I don't think there's one player after that game who you look at and went, wow, he looks like he's already won the championship. Like they were ready to go back to work the next morning for the Grey Cup, it seemed.
Exactly. There wasn't a whole lot of celebrating. By the time we got to the locker room afterwards, a lot of players that left, they weren't sticking around to celebrate. And the players we did talk to, it was all the same thing. The job's not finished. We have one more game. Only matters to win the next one. Job's not finished. And it reminds me of that really famous Kobe Bryant clip where the reporter asks, why aren't you smiling? You're up 2-0 in the series. And Kobe just said, job's not finished. That's the mindset this team has right now, and that's why I think with all the experience they have, that will pay huge dividends for this team in the Grey Cup.
So just out of curiosity, what does the practice schedule look like this week, Britton? And is it similar to the week before a regular game where they have, you know, a couple of practices and then a closed practice? Like, do you have a rough idea of how, because the riders are in the buses and they're on the way to the airport right now as we speak?
Yeah, I'm still waiting to find that out about when the close practice will be. They'll stick to the routine, right, at this point. Yeah. Why mess with the routine, especially because your routine's already going to be messed up. You have extra media to do this week. You've got extra things, extra appearances. Everything just it's a little bit more exciting. There's a different vibe. You have the CFL awards. There's going to be other distractions. I don't think a coach wants to add to that by changing up the routine this team has had the entire season.
Yeah, the CFL does a good enough job for them. They don't need to do it because one team gets a morning session and the other team practices in the afternoon. Then it's flipped the next day. The other team gets morning, the other team, and then it's flipped the next day. Then it's flipped the next day. It goes back and forth. They'll be out of routine, but they're going to try to keep it as close to possible on how they do
similar
things.
Times as well. No. Probably. Oh, no, it's all over the map. Okay.
Practicing at 3 and practicing at 11, and it'll be bit different, and that's going to be that for
guys. Do they
guys,
get to practice
they're in
at Princess Auto?
Yeah, all the practices are at Princess Auto. Okay. And the weather looks good in Winnipeg. They always have an indoor facility just in case on the go, but things look pretty good in Winnipeg, Manitoba for the weather. Injury report. What do you think, Keyshawn Johnson this week? Are we going to see Keyshawn Johnson for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Britton Gray, might as well start now.
I do think so. Corey Mace admitted he was very close to getting in there, and part of me wonders, with the faith this team had in Joe Robustelli, that they didn't feel a need to push him. If there was maybe if other teams were in the same situation where they didn't have that depth, maybe he was good enough to play last week. I'm not sure about that, but just with the faith this team had in Joe Robustelli, it really felt like, Keyshawn, just take another week. We think we can go do this. We'll need you for the Grey Cup, because he did get some limited practices in there. When I did see him running individual drills, he was cutting pretty good. He was running some pretty good routes. So we'll have to wait and see as he builds that confidence back up into that knee. But I would think if he is able to go, he will go, because as players say, after this week, you have months of rehab and time to rest after this one.
And I mean, it would be the obvious replacement for found money, Joe Robustelli, if he's not going to be able to play on Sunday, right?
No, absolutely. That's his starting spot, and rightfully so, right? An all-star this season, over 1,000 yards, and just so dynamic on second down that Trevor Harris has so much faith in him.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, he is going to be your guy covering it all for the Riders' perspective from Winnipeg, Manitoba for Grey Cup 112. Of course, Locker and I will be on the air every day from 2 until 6. We'll have a special Saturday show coming up from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Britton, safe travels. Noise-canceling headphones. And, I don't know.
The one thing we do have in common is sunflower seeds. I got a bag of Spitz for the trip. I know he's a Spitz guy.
Best travel partner ever, Locker.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
We're finding common ground here, Jamie and I. You're trying to focus on the negatives, and here Britton and I are focusing on the positives. We have a common interest. Spitz.
Okay. if you're in Moosomin, just listen close. You can probably hear them bickering as they drive through past the red bar.
I'm not suggesting that that's not going to happen.
Britton, I'll see you in Winnipeg, my friend.
See you there.
I'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You're bringing the coffee, right?
Yeah. A big tub.
I'll swing by Tim.
Of coffee for these two. Heading to Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Going to Winnipeg.
No place better I'd rather be this week than Winnipeg, Manitoba. For the 112th Grey Cup, the Riders and the Owls. Coming up next, Daniel Retsch is going to join us from that Rider fan, Selly, as they're sending off the Riders the right way to Winnipeg. Right now, as we speak, this is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Okay, let's get a scene setter right now from Mosaic Stadium. The Riders are about to jet off to Winnipeg. Daniel Retsch from the newsroom at the celebration. So the fans come out to send them off in the right way, Daniel?
Absolutely. The crowd is absolutely electric right now, just roaring through the air. I had to step away quite far away, actually, just to be able to hear you guys, to be honest.
How many fans would you say was there? Like a couple of hundred?
Definitely, for sure. Absolutely. And they're all dressed in Rider green. They got the cowbells going. They're just absolutely loving it right now.
There was a ton of cowbells at the game. They had them out in full force on Saturday. So what kind of numbers are we talking here, Daniel? I mean, I know it's going to be a rough guess here, but how many people came out to see the team off to the airport?
Not the best at eyeballing numbers, but definitely in the hundreds here. We've got a pretty nice crowd here just outside the gates at Mosaic.
And I imagine a lot of kids, too. Like the school was out today. Yeah, so probably
plenty of folks all ages, lots of kids. A lot of the players actually took the time to stop and give some high fives. Some guys, like even AJ Ouellette, was signing autographs, and the kids are absolutely loving it.
Was he wearing a shirt, AJ Ouellette?
Believe it or not, yes, he was.
Oh, okay,
it's fantastic. How much interaction did the fans get with? Like, there was a bit of a scrum from what we're hearing. So, how many of the players and coaches spoke, Daniel?
Not quite a scrum, but just sort of like on an ad hoc basis. A few players just sort of made their way towards the mic.
Okay.
Some of them amped up the crowd. Some of them, you know, got them going with some nice chants and stuff. Joe was one of them. Corey Mace was one of them. A lot of people just like feeding off the energy. And, you know, the players and fans are both just kind of giving each other the energy here.
Well, Daniel, we'll let you get back at it. I know there's a lot of excited fans. You're going to have a lot more coverage on the rally online.
Don't lose your foam finger.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Daniel Retsch. Scott was like, you can barely hear him. He's trying to run away from the... like, let's do it! It's Mosaic Stadium. Fan rally right now. Corey Mace addressing, as he said, a Joe as the fans sending off the Riders the right way as they leave to Winnipeg. They'll land in Winnipeg just past 6 o'clock. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Alouettes just getting there as we speak. Then it'll be the Riders. There is an optional practice tomorrow. Doubt either team will take that option because they usually like their 3 days of hard work, and that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, walkthrough Saturday, game day Sunday. But you do have the head coach's news conference tomorrow in Winnipeg. That's when our coverage will begin. 2 o'clock tomorrow, we will start broadcasting live. Another big story out of Winnipeg Locker is Mike O'Shea.
Yeah. I think he's gone.
I think so, too. From Dave Naylor's report, our Green Zone CFL insider from TSN, he is reporting that the Argonauts got permission to talk to him and have already started the conversation with Mike O'Shea.
Question marks about the decisions he made. And, yeah, there was a lot of that hanging over that coaching staff this year.
Yes, there was. So we'll see. Maybe more news coming out of Winnipeg. And in the National Football League, you have Philadelphia against Green Bay, Monday Night Football. But some other news is Brian Daboll got fired from the New York Giants after they lost another one yesterday to the Chicago Bears. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, our top grades and our failing grades from the West Final. What are yours? Let us know now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.